So our next reading is from John chapter 1, and you'll find it inside your service sheets. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." Well, the food writer Nigel Slater has just brought out this food book, sorry which I'm obscuring at the moment, called the Christmas Chronicles. And I don't actually read recipe books over breakfast, just in case you're wondering, but I have a good friend who does, which is how I know about this book. So it's called Christmas Chronicles. He's an atheist, but he celebrates Christmas, and so he writes this. I'll just read this. It doesn't matter if I obscure it. He says, "Happily atheist, I celebrate Christmas as much as anyone with food and gifts, and yes, carols. The Nativity is as much a part of Christmas as Santa Claus and the pagan habit of bringing holly and mistletoe into the house. Christmas," he says, "is a vast steam pudding of Christianity, folklore, paganism, tradition, and commerce." Now, he's absolutely right, isn't he, that Christmas is this vast steam pudding, as he said, of different strands. But it's important to recognise the differences between the different strands and to separate them out. So Santa Claus is harmless folklore. The Nativity, that is the birth in Bethlehem, is history. And at the heart of the Nativity is a box. It's a little wooden box, nothing fancy. It's no great piece of woodwork or art. In fact, it's just an animal feeding trough. But that little box, that wooden box, has changed the world for millions of people, and it could change the world for you this Christmas time. Now, that is a pretty big claim, I'm aware, and that you might say, well, I can think of quite a few other boxes which I reckon have changed the world more than this box has. And I think we're just going to look at them for a few minutes, but I want to make the claim that this little wooden box leaves them for dead when you actually do the compare and contrast. So you've got a little sheet inside your service sheet. You may have wondered what on earth these images were on there. These are some of the other boxes. So we're going to start with top left. That's the first challenger for the title of box that has changed the world. And that is, of course, the television box. Now, the veteran broadcaster Melvyn Bragg, he did a BBC documentary about television. I wondered why some puzzled looks behind me there. I'm on the wrong one. Does that look? Yeah, that's about the same. Okay, so we're on top left, TV box, veteran broadcaster Melvyn Bragg. He did a BBC documentary about television, and the programme was called The Box That Changed the World, and maybe you saw it. But he said television is among the very greatest inventions in history. He said, for the first time ever, people can see the world in ways denied to them for centuries. They can see the floor of oceans. They can see the tops of mountains. They can see the walk from prison by Nelson Mandela. They can see famine in Africa, joy at the Olympics, bombing in Iraq. And he says that now we are a planet united in pictures. And he's right, isn't he, that the sort of images we see on the box are absolutely staggering. But it is nothing compared to what was in the box back in the first century in Bethlehem. So John's Gospel, in the reading we just had, opens with the words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." In that wooden box was God become man, the Creator born as a baby. So telecommunication is great, but incarnation is greater. God becoming man, becoming one of us. As the carol declares, he came down to earth from heaven, who is, how does it go on? Who is God and Lord of all. So in that wooden box, we get to see what the invisible God is like. So the very last verse of our passage in John there says, "No one's ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." So as that baby grows up, we get to see what the invisible God is like. So we see the beauty of God in his character. We get to see the power of God in his miracles and in his resurrection. We get to see the wisdom of God and the love of God and the justice of God in his death on the cross for our sins. There's another verse in the Bible that describes Jesus as being the image of the invisible God. So television brings us these staggering images from all over the world, but in Jesus that is saying we have the image of the invisible God. So in Jesus, God reveals to us what he is like. As another carol says, "Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity." In the darkness of billions of living rooms all around the world, the light of television flickers. It's like all on the walls, these images, flashes these images in the darkness. But you've got this different kind of light that shines out from the wooden box in Bethlehem. So verse 4 says that in him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness. It's a different kind of light shining in the darkness. That in that wooden box we have the light of the world. Jesus brings light and life from God. Now, box sets are great, but no box set can do that for us. TV is great. The wooden box is greater. And so the big question this Christmas time is not just what is on the box, as in what is on TV, but what was in the box back in the first century. So that's the first box, television. Second box that might be a contender for the box that changed the world is top right, and one that's dear to all of our hearts, the computer box. One thing the computer has brought is instant communication. It wasn't so very long ago that people wrote things called letters, which took weeks to get to their destination. Or, in some cases, little carrier pigeons that were sent off with messages on them. But now it's a question of ping, and there it appears in someone else's box on the other side of the planet. But in the wooden box in Bethlehem, we have something even greater. So we have communication from God himself. Jesus is described in these opening verses of John's Gospel as the Word. If you pick that up in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," and it says the Word became flesh. So Jesus, as the Word, is God's communication to us. He is God's message to us. There's something called SETI. It's an acronym, stands for the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. And it was buzzing earlier this year because they'd detected this radio signal coming from some star which was 95 light years away. And the astronomers were saying that this could fit a Type 1 civilization. Now, a Type 1 civilization is as advanced as we have here on Earth, and almost as advanced as you guys here in the room who come from the Docklands area. Almost that advanced. Now, understandably, the astronomers were getting extremely excited about this. But in this wooden box is a message from God himself. Not just from some little green creatures on planet Zog. A message from God himself. And the message is not some radio signal, but a person. The person of Jesus Christ. But thanks to the internet, we have now not just instant communication, but we also have access to limitless information. It's amazing, isn't it? You've got any question at all, what do? You just ask Google, or you ask Siri, and you get the answer. But when it comes to the big questions of life, do you really want to base your whole life on what Google or Siri tell you? When I asked Siri the other day, I asked, you know, what's the meaning of life? And she said, all evidence to date suggests it is chocolate. So I've tried again, but, you know, what's the meaning of life, Siri? She said, well, there isn't a consensus on that question. Well, this isn't really getting very far, so I thought I'd try a slightly different tack. So I typed in, what's the point of life, Siri? And she just said, interesting question. I tried again, she said, here's what I found on the web. I mean, if you want answers to the big questions of life, look in the wooden box. Because verse 14 says that we find in that box the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Truth. Verse 17 says grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And when this baby in the wooden box got older, he said of himself, I am the truth, capital T. So he's the truth about God. He reveals to us what God is really like. That God is full of love and mercy, but he's also holy, he's pure, he's just. He reveals the truth about ourselves, that we were created to know God, but we've rebelled against him, and we're heading for judgment. He's revealed the inconvenient truth about what happens when we die. That there is a heaven, there is a hell. Death is not the end. There was a news article this past week, you may have seen it, which was titled, The Mystery of the Baby in the Box. Did you read that one? It's about a man who's now in his 70s. He was abandoned as a baby and he was left in a cardboard box outside a department store on Oxford Street. And that was back in 1943. And he spent his whole life doing detective work, trying to find out who he really is. So who left him, who abandoned him, and why? Well, the first century baby was also effectively in a cardboard box. I mean, they didn't have cardboard boxes back then, but it was the equivalent, wasn't it? Just an animal feeding trough. It's not the best start in life. But the key question with him is, as with this bloke on Oxford Street, what is his true identity? Who is he? The mystery of the baby in the box. Who is him? And we should be as determined to find the answer to that question as this man was to find his own identity. Because if the baby in the box, in the wooden box, if he really is the Word of God, if he really is the truth, then he is the answer to all these big questions of life. The TV box, computer box. The third one, bottom left, you may be struggling on a little bit. I may just throw this open just to see if anyone's got any idea what that looks like. I've had all sorts of, what do you reckon? Container, very good. Someone said a radiator. Yeah, it's actually a metal container. It's a shipping container, metal box, the metal box. The final box that could lay claim to having changed the world, the shipping container. Now, you would not be here today if it wasn't for that box. Because this would still be a working port, and this would still be a working warehouse full of cargo and so on. So you definitely wouldn't be here, because Canary Wharf wouldn't be here. So it was the invention of the metal box, the shipping container, that revolutionized global trade because the cost of shipping these boxes is so cheap. And so now, thanks to the metal box, we have toys from China, and we have copper from Chile, T-shirts from Bangladesh, wine from New Zealand, coffee from Ethiopia, tomatoes from Spain. You know, globalization. And for consumers, it's fantastic because it means lower prices and it means huge variety. And we take it for granted, don't we? That we've got access to this enormous selection of goods from all over the world. But it's all thanks to this 12-meter-long steel box. Now you might say, well, how can our little wooden box, how can it possibly compete for influence with the metal container, the metal box? And the answer is this, that the wooden box brings us something less tangible, but more important. So verse 14 speaks of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And verse 17 says, the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace means God's undeserved love. His undeserved love, which paid for our wrongdoing when Jesus died on the cross. Some of the most important things in life are things you cannot buy. Things like love, things like forgiveness, and these come to us from God through Jesus Christ. Life is not just about smartphones and designer wear and video games and kitchen aids. I mean, consumer goods are great, they make life easier, but they're not what life is all about. And if we just fill our lives with this stuff, it's going to leave us spiritually thirsty and eternally lost. I mean, we need more, don't we, than Nike this and Gucci that. We don't need retail therapy, we need rescue. We don't just need Black Friday sales, we need Good Friday forgiveness that comes through the death of Jesus. Now, three of these boxes on the screen there, they didn't exist 100 years ago. I mean, no one had ever heard of TV or computers or shipping containers 100 years ago, and they probably won't be around in 100 years' time. In contrast to the baby in the box, I mean, they're not lasting. Now, that doesn't mean they're bad. Not lasting doesn't mean bad, doesn't mean wrong. I mean, things like entertainment and work and things that we can buy, they're good gifts for us to enjoy. But we're not to live for them. The wooden box is to be the centre, so we are made to live for the one who was in that box. So as I close, I just want to leave you with a question of which box will be your focus this Christmas time. I mean, hopefully there'll be some good stuff on the box, on TV, to sit back and, you know, put your slippers on and enjoy. Hopefully the work computer box will be switched off for a few hours or hopefully a few days over the Christmas period. Hopefully you get a break. Hopefully the metal box, the shipping container, will have brought you lots of other little boxes, gift wrap, that you'll find under your tree. But this Christmas, take a closer look at the wooden box and maybe think outside the box this Christmas, if I can put it this way, by actually looking inside the wooden box. Because what is in there, the Bible is saying, is utterly unique. And it could change your world, not just now, but forever.